A good summer. Finally. When your kids go to bed. Ugh, finally. Making a profit. Finally. A business bank doing something different. Finally. Like giving cash back on your business account. Introducing the new Santander 123 Business Current Account. Finally. A proper reason to switch. Cash back up to £300 annually on credit turnover. Monthly fee £12.50. For UK-based companies with up to two directors, owners or partners. 18 plus T's and C's apply.
Attention Studio Ghibli fans! J-Kids and Fathom Events are bringing Hayao Miyazaki's Academy Award winning film Spirited Away to theatres on October 28th, 29th and 30th as part of Studio Ghibli Fest for a special 3-day event. Follow Chihiro through the spirit world as she uses her wits to survive in strange new places, free her parents from Yubaba's curse and return to the normal world. Overflowing with imaginative creatures and thrilling storytelling, Spirited Away is a worldwide smash hit and one of the most critically acclaimed films of all time. Head over to GhibliFest.com to get your tickets now. US listeners only.
Hey there, guys, and welcome again to the latest episode of the AFA podcast, the official podcast for animationforadults.com. My name is Rachel, and joining me today is Chris.
Hello. Hello, Rachel.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing very well. How are you?
Feeling a lot better. I know people who've listened to our previous episodes notice I was absent last week. I had the spooky month of October did not have a very pleasant start for me. Was not feeling so great. But
we missed you.
I know. You guys were talking about a bunch of cool stuff. I was really excited for the water cooler. I got to listen to the water cooler. You're talking about Hilda, which I have yet to watch, but it's literally next on my list, on my Netflix list. So that's coming up. And Dragon Prince, which I've had a chance to watch, but and I'm very eager to maybe have a little bit of a discussion later today. It will be a bit more of a general episode since it's primarily, you know, just the two of us kind of hanging out here. We might discuss a few bits of news that just came down. That we definitely want to talk about. Chris, you've had a chance to look into some of that this week. So what's been happening? What's been going on in the animation world?
Well, I wanted to start off with a bit of an update to a story we talked about last week, and that was the fact that Never Ending Man, Hayao Miyazaki, the documentary, is being released in the US by G-Kids.
And we said, is! Awesome!
We said we don't know when it's coming out. Well, now we do.
We do.
It is coming out in December, and it is going to be one of the fancy Fathom Events G Kids event screening jobbies. And it is going to be in December.
Very good.
December the 13th and December the 18th.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, that's an early Christmas present.
Coming to more than 500 US cinemas.
Yes, hopefully it'll be mine, because my cinema is unfortunately one of those where it's like it will occasionally get the Fathom Events screenings, but then there will be a few that just don't make the cut, like case in point, the Yuri on Ice marathon. No. That I really wanted to see, but alas, it was not in my area.
That would be a really long time to sit in the cinema.
It would, but it's Yuri on Ice, so I would think that gorgeous skate animation would be worth it to see on the big screen. Since there's just something about the way animation is done in that show, and especially how the colors and the different locations and just things really pop, in Yuri on Ice, which is something that as I keep watching the show on a smaller screen. Just can't get enough of, so I'm just like, man, to see this on the biggest screen possible would be most excellent. But alas, I could not do it, so there will be other times, I'm sure. other anime in theaters events, because there's, as we've been discussing these past couple films that have come out, just anime films and shows in general have been kind of coming back into theaters.
They certainly have. Speaking of anime that has been in cinemas, I did. There's a story should have mentioned on last week's show, but forgot, and that is the fact that 11 Arts, who are one of the anime distributors in the US, have signed a new deal with Shout Factory, who are a home entertainment company, basically to bring their titles or some of their titles to various home video formats in the future.
Oh, ho, ho.
Because 11 Arts are a theatrical distribution company, so they don't have a home arm as yet. So they are partnering with somebody who does. They have previously announced a couple of titles were getting releases by Right Stuff, which is like a, I guess, exclusively through their website. And a couple of smaller titles, but this is a bigger ongoing thing. And this is a multi-year contract with Shout Factory, and it will take home entertainment rights for several new releases from 11 Arts anime slate. And it's not an exclusive deal, because obviously they've signed a deal with the Right Stuff as well. So it won't include those titles, but we can guess that probably include like most things going forward. So we don't know if things like Machia and A Silent Voice that they haven't released yet might get released or not. It depends, I guess, on whether they acquired home video rights when they got it or not. And I know lots of people in the US are really keen for A Silent Voice to come out.
Yes, I really, because you and Dan speak very highly of this movie, and I've read the first couple chapters of the manga, and I really enjoy it. So I'm curious to see if the actual film release gets over here or not.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's been dubbed and everything. So
yeah,
it's just sitting waiting there for someone to release it. I can't imagine that the Japanese distributor would be like, nope.
Although yeah, sometimes, come on, let's make some money, guys.
Although sometimes they are like that, just because they can be like that. They can be like, no, you can't have a Blu-ray.
You can't have nice things. We don't want you to have nice things.
Speaking of nice things, there's going to be a 30th anniversary edition of My Neighbor Totoro coming out in the UK from Studio Canal. It's an Amazon exclusive. There is only going to be 1,000 copies, and it includes the obviously the Blu-ray. I think it might be the steelbook. I'm not sure. Plus the art book, and a tote bag and these art cards and things.
Oh my goodness!
It looks a bit beautiful.
I have a good feeling that that's going to sell like gangbusters. It's just like going to be just there and then gone within the next 24 hours.
Yeah, it's out in like November or December. I'll have to stick a little link in show notes, assuming it hasn't sold out already.
A holiday gift, a good holiday gift, I'd say.
Moving on to some other news. Shall we keep it in the anime sphere, or shall we move over?
I think there's also one in terms of the anime sphere. There is one other thing I'd like to add, but you can take the floor first.
It's there's been a big shake-up in the anime streaming world, and that is that Funimation and Crunchyroll are ending their content sharing partnership.
Yep. I mentioned this off the air, but I have a Verve account, and there was an announcement recently when I logged on saying, guess what? Funimation's no longer going to be on here. And I'm like, what? But so that's their parting ways. But I think, as you said, it's because they now belong to Sony.
It's basically Funimation are pulling out of the deal because they are owned by Sony now, and Sony wants to grow the company. And basically, if you don't know, what happened was back in 2016, Funimation and Crunchyroll, who'd been competing for licenses all these years, partly to sort of head off the competition from companies like Netflix and Amazon getting into anime, decided to enter a mutually beneficial arrangement where what basically happened was that Funimation got dub rights and Crunchyroll got subtitle rights, and they shared a lot of their catalogue, and also Funimation have released like physical media copies of some of Crunchyroll's licenses as well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the US, there was that Verve, you could get basically a Crunchyroll and Funimation subscription at the same time.
Yep.
And you won't be able to do that anymore because Funimation are leaving. But they are replacing the Funimation part of the subscription with High Dive, which is another anime streaming company that used to be the Anime Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're the only other company that do like simul dubs. So.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, this is a big change, and hopefully the changes involved that are in store for Funimation are going to be in a good direction. I'm excited because it already seems like they're still pushing to have a lot more, you know, promotion and stuff in theaters. Case in point, into the new story I wanted to mention real quick was Toei Animation and Fathom Events are partnering up again to bring more Dragon Ball Z into the theaters. However, this time it's going to be two films that were originally direct to video, and that is Bardock, the Father of Goku, as well as Fusion Reborn. Both of those are going to be getting theatrical releases in, I believe, November 3rd and November 5th here in the U.S. And I believe Canada is also getting a few screenings, so we'll leave links to those in the show notes. But both of these films, well, they were dubbed originally like years ago. They have been since redubbed, and that's the version that's both movies are going to be featuring in these theatrical releases. So that's cool, because I remember, especially Fusion Reborn, I have not seen the entirety of the movie, I know I really liked the look of it. I forget who was directing it, but it looked really impressive, like a lot of really cool visuals in that one. So I'd be very eager to see that on the big screen. So if you're a Dragon Ball fan like I am, then by all means check out that link in the show notes and find out when if these two movies are coming to a theater near you.
Yeah, it should keep you going until the new Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah,
comes out in the new year.
That's perfectly timed. It's absolutely perfectly timed that they have they're releasing these the month before the Dragon Ball Super movie comes out. That's just like, okay, we know you still have a little while longer to wait for this movie, so we're here, have these. these movies are fairly popular. And I think there are a few others too. I think like the Broly movie was getting a redub. I think there was one more, but it's currently escaping me right now. But I'll make sure that all these films are listed in our show notes below. So if you're interested in seeing any of them, you can see if they're coming to near you and buy your tickets.
Oh, yeah, because they're mainly sort of pretty short films, so they can put them on double features or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I watched some of them got released on Blu-ray in the UK recently.
Oh yeah.
Some of them I got given to review. So.
Oh, which ones were those?
I can't quite remember, but I know there was three different Broly ones?
Mm-hmm. Because Broly was a breakout character, don't ask me why. I've never been very fond of the guy, but at the very least, a lot of people seem to think that he's cool, so he got three movies. The first one was the most more enjoyable of the three.
Well, that was one of them.
In my opinion, at least.
One of the ones I got to review, I think, was the one that had the three Broly ones on. And yeah. I got at least one other. Well, I can't remember exactly which ones they were.
I think there was one with androids or something.
Yeah, that's the Android 13 movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's so those are coming. I mean, again, surprise, surprise, having redubbing a Broly, the original Broly movie, because guess what other character is going to be showing up in Dragon Ball Super? Like, okay, well, hopefully I'm keeping my expectations low as I possibly can when it comes to Dragon Balls, because I'm hoping that something somehow will surprise me.
Speaking of low expectations. Segway.
Segway.
No, that's harsh. That's harsh. It might be great. But Warner Brothers Animation are working on a Tom and Jerry movie.
Again?
Yeah, but this is going to be a live-action animation hybrid, which just makes you think, oh, God, it's going to be like Chipmunks or the Smurfs or anything.
Okay, if it's more something like, what was it? If it's more like, I'm sorry, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
That might have me slightly interested, but not to judge too harshly right off the bat, but it kind of sounds like stuff we've seen already, like you said.
I mean, you never know, it could be the next Paddington.
You never know. It lists, as long as we really understand. I mean, here's the problem of trying to make a feature-length films out of Tom and Jerry, and even the first actual 2D animated film, which I have seen, got wrong, is that they actually tried to tell a story with like a long. They have to draw out a story to tell, and I'm sorry, like, no matter how you slice it, Tom and Jerry are just not cut out for that kind of storytelling. Theirs is just, it's just slapstick. You can tell as much, you know, the perfect story with those two characters with just slapstick, and just, this has been done before and it's failed, so why do we keep trying?
Are you suggesting they should not follow in the footsteps of Tom and Jerry and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh God! Oh no! 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 No!
So basically, Warner Brothers are preparing a whole bunch of films based on their like classic animated characters, because they obviously own the rights to all the Looney Tunes and everything, but they own, like, through acquisitions and stuff, they own all the Hanna-Barbera stuff as well. And they're going to be doing a mix of fully animated films and animated live action hybrids. And we already knew ages ago that they're working on a Scooby-Doo movie, animated Scooby-Doo movie. We talked about it on the podcast like in 2016 or something.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be coming out like this year, but it's obviously been pushed back. But that's still supposed to be coming out now in 2020. And Chris Columbus, the director of the first two Harry Potter movies, and also the writer, I think, of Gremlins. So he has He's done some good stuff. He is signed on as a creative producer on the animated Scooby-Doo movie. They're also working on a film called Wile E. Coyote versus Acme.
That's just a funny title.
It's interesting. It's like, not, is Roadrunner going to be in it, or is it? What?
You can't have the coyote without the Roadrunner, so I would imagine.
And this is another live action / animation hybrid. Lego Batman director Chris McKay is involved with that one. They are still
okay. So that's definitely going to be funny.
They're still working on Space Jam sequel.
Right, yeah, that's been in the works, I think.
And this Tom and Jerry movie is going to be directed by Tim Story, who is a director who directed those first two Fantastic Four movies. And
oh, huh.
His recent success is include the ride-along films, which I think are Kevin Hart and, is it Ice Cube, I think? Yeah, so that's happening. And they're also working on adaptations of The Jetsons, directed by Conrad Vernon, director of Sausage Party.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, he didn't write it.
No.
So it's not necessarily his fault that it was so bad.
Yep. You are correct.
And they're also making The Jetsons and Wacky Races.
Oh, Wacky Races. That was a good time.
It was. So that, you know, we don't know how that'll turn out, but that's what they're doing. We should try and stay positive. I hear a lot of people who are like saying like, hey, do kids care about these cartoons anymore? And it's like, I think.
Yeah.
It's often people who are saying that don't actually, you know, have many small relatives or kids or whatever, because they do like things that are come from before they were born, and they do know classic cartoons and stuff.
Well, yeah, but because especially with certain channels, we'll have reruns of them. And I know I grew up because when Cartoon Network and certainly, you know, when that was in its infancy, like if they didn't have a lot of programming in general, they used to play those old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So I would watch the Flintstones, Jetsons, Wacky Races, Hong Kong Phooey, you know, all these really strange, weird cartoon shows that were just wacky but fun.
Yeah, any of those things that we watched like when we were younger, they were from like the 60s or 70s or whatever.
Yeah.
So they obviously weren't something that we watched when they were first on, for obvious reasons.
No.
And when we were first talking about Scooby-Doo, I think somebody on the show actually asked, hey, did kids still watch Scooby-Doo? And it's like, yeah, Scooby-Doo's never gone anywhere.
No, yeah, they keep pumping out directed video movies. They keep reimagining different cartoons. It's still very much alive. It just, the flavor has changed. The Scooby snack flavor has changed over the years.
So we'll just, I guess, keep an eye on these, see how they turn out.
Yeah,
They could be all right.
Keep plugging away, Warner Brothers, as some keep saying. Keep plugging away.
Although it's kind of a shame that they're basically going, well, we tried things like Storks and didn't make that much of an impact. So we're just...
Storks was fun, though.
Storks was great. I really liked Storks, but, you know, it didn't have... wasn't obviously that big a hit.
It wasn't a huge financial success.
So they're like, oh, what have we got that is...
What do we have that we know that's marketable?
Yeah. So that's a bit depressing, but
yeah,
these could be good.
Well, like I said, I hope all the best of luck to everyone who is currently working on those projects and trying to make them the best that they can be. So, because that's what I sincerely hope.
I mean, I am genuinely excited about the new Looney Tunes shorts that they're working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
So maybe these will be as good. Who knows?
Fingers crossed.
I think news-wise, that's about it for this week.
All right.
Pretty quiet week.
It has been a pretty quiet week, but fortunately, because it's been such a kind of a low-key week, there's been that means it's a chance to kind of catch up on stuff that might have been out for a little while. It hadn't had a chance to really look into, so we'll kind of mosey on over to the water cooler and see if we can talk about some stuff had a chance to watch recently. And there were two things in particular that I know I wanted to discuss. One of which was a film that we were very lucky to have an opportunity to watch. I think it was it was back in early September, August.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but we haven't had the opportunity to discuss it. Because we haven't done that. I guess perhaps we haven't been on a water cooler section together in a little while. So
yeah, it's been tricky recently, but it's good to catch up. So this particular film that we had a chance to watch was part of I think it was part of that collection, that festival collection that we have discussed previously on the podcast, but the Fantasia Festival.
Yeah, it was world premiere was at Fantasia Festival, but it turns out us talking about it now is quite good timing because this particular film is showing this week at Animation is Film Festival in Hollywood, and also screened at Scotland Loves Anime in the UK, where it was awarded the Jury Award.
Yeah, and that film is Penguin Highway. So I'm trying, like, I'm trying to make it like I don't have my notes open today. Like the director, I believe it was originally a novel, a Japanese novel, that was adapted into this film.
It was, and it was actually by the same author as the book it was the same author who also wrote the book that The Night is Short, Walk on Girl is based on. And the Tommy Galaxy.
No wonder. No wonder.
Tomohiko Morimi is the author. Mm-hmm. And the book came out in 2010.
Oh, okay. So it's interesting.
And this film is made by Studio Colorido. It's their first feature. They are best known for shorts and adverts. And the director is Hiroyasu Ishida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a very different anime film that I to watch. Because, I mean, it's definitely got a lot of charm to it, which really is what drew me in. I mean, obviously, you got cute penguins running around, so that's visual gold in and of itself. But the thing I was not expecting about Penguin Highway is this, the very kind of quirky sense of humor it has is mainly coming from its protagonist character. Could you correct me on the name of the small child, because he is very precocious. Precocious child.
He is incredibly precocious. He's like in the voiceover at the beginning is basically him introducing himself and basically going on about how great he is and how he's going to be amazing. He's called Aoyama.
Aoyama, okay.
He's a fourth grader, whatever that means.
He's still in elementary school, but I remember one of my first lines that could, like, in terms of like establishing his character was that he's literally counting the years, days, hours, minutes, seconds to when will be officially considered a grown up.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's considers himself way smarter than everyone else in his class. He is always like, he's very like, whenever something, he's puzzled by something, he immediately goes to like the scientific method in terms of, you know, figuring out what it is. And that's most of this film is penguins show up in town and obviously start kind of like, you know, people are like, wow, what are penguins doing in here? And he's like, yeah, what are these penguins doing here? And it's him going bit by bit through the puzzle pieces to try and figure out where indeed are they coming from, and you know what are the strange things that are happening in that start happening in town.
Yeah, I think the problem is, if you're watching it as a non-Japanese person, is you don't necessarily off the top of your head know that penguins aren't native to Japan. They could be, I don't know. And because you don't necessarily know what animals live where necessarily, which is how you get things like there being raccoons in the English countryside in 101 Dalmatians, which is not a thing. We do not have raccoons.
Oh my God, you're right. No, I never remember when I was living in England. I never saw a raccoon. Now I know why.
We have hedgehogs. And yes. Things, but we don't have raccoons. So no, that's wrong. So the penguins just mysteriously appearing in this rural Japanese place and wandering around and being all cute and
causing trouble.
basically, as soon as I saw the animation on the penguins, I was like, I'm in.
They're very well animated penguins, I have to say. They have that cute little penguin waddle down, because these are the penguins in this film are like the really tiny, like, I won't call them, they're not really rock hopper penguins, but they're kind of like
they're Delhi penguins.
Delhi penguins.
Yes.
Yeah, and they are very, very cute to watch run around.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the possibility that these aren't 100% real penguins, and if so, what's making them and where are they coming from? And that's what basically the film is exploring. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm not sure if you can really spoil the plot, but I'm going to try and keep it on the down low regardless. It all comes back to this woman that our little precocious hero, who's can't wait to grow up, interacts with. She works at a dentist's office, I believe.
Yep.
But she will occasionally meet him at a cafe or diner to play chess with. And they kind of just have, and she's very amused by his whole like desire to look into this, and she offers to help him out. And it's just, they have a very interesting dynamic, these two characters. And I don't think we ever actually get a name from, like, I don't think she has a name or wherever a name of her name is ever set on screen.
No, I think it's kind of deliberate that she's, she's referred to just as the lady.
The lady.
And I think in the actual Japanese dialogue, he calls her Oni-san, which means like big sister.
Yes,
but it's not translate. It wasn't translated in the subtitle. It was like the lady or whatever. So I don't know if there's like a dub or whatever. I don't know how they'll deal with that. But
like to see this dub though, because this is this kind of reminded me of like watching like E.T. in a way. How it slowly builds and builds and builds, but every new turn it takes, you're more intrigued by what's really going on.
It's got a wide appeal, so it would make sense to dub it, because it's basically family friendly.
And who doesn't like cute penguins?
Nobody I want to spend their time with anyway. There's kind of some unexpected jokes, because he's quite frank about things occasionally. There's like one bit where he's like, "Oh, if you're ever feeling stressed about something, just think about boobs."
Yes, he's very frank. He's like, "Yes, I really like." It's like, "I like boobs. I really like them." Just out loud, no shame at all, just for the whole world to hear. And he's just like, wow, this kid has little to no filter.
Nope. Yeah, he's almost like autistic or something in action.
You think?
When you think about
it.
Yeah, because he's very intelligent, but he's not got a lot of social
skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, his social skills are definitely something to be desired, but I don't know. Like, I think that's something he gets a little bit better with through the course of the movie.
Yeah, obviously, I don't know if we mentioned, he's obviously got a big crush on this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, he literally pulls his tooth, his loose tooth, in order to have a reason to go to the dentist and talk to her.
And also mess with the school bully while he's there.
Oh, I remember that scene. That was a great scene.
Because, there's like a really horrible kid, but he basically just messes with his head.
Yeah, this bully was picking on him before, and this kid tries a great way to get back at him by literally making him think that he's getting sick with something, and just scares the bully to death. Unfortunately, when he finds out that wasn't the case, there's hell to pay later. Quite brutally, because they think they like literally trap him to a vending machine.
Like
that's really, I mean, I know kids can be cruel, but like, damn, that's really like, If someone would find him eventually, but how long would that take? Especially since it's like on like the coastal like highway or road out the corner of the town. And this kid again just takes it in stride. Like, I'm stuck at a vending machine. I guess I'll wait here. Like, he doesn't panic. I don't think his expression even changes ever at all. He just kind of hangs out, and then when the lady comes up to like to the vending machine to get something, and she notices him there, and she's like, "You're stuck in a vending machine, huh?" He's like, "Yep, I'm experimenting."
I feel like he's a character who would only be a main character in like an anime, or
yeah, I agree,
or possibly a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah, he seems his kind of straight faced, stoic kind of. But I wouldn't say completely stoic because he does talk. He does talk a lot. It's just a matter of his very deadpan. I think that's the word I'm searching for. Deadpan. Deadpan comedy. Doesn't really, not sure how well that would translate to English to Japanese, but in Japanese, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, you could go, oh, he's so arrogant and annoying, but you don't feel like that at all.
No, they never push it to the point where it gets annoying. And he definitely has his own, like, he's not perfect. He has his own fair share of struggles, especially when it comes to, like, this experiment and finding out, you know, more about the penguins and what the strange phenomena that's been happening. Because I think he literally pushes himself to, oh, I remember there's a point where the lady hasn't eaten anything in a certain amount of time. And in order to see if a regular person can go without food, he forces himself not to eat and then makes himself sick.
Yeah.
Like that, there was, this movie went to some interesting places. Like this kid is really super dedicated to figuring stuff out, and you have to admire him for that.
Yeah, he's a real scientist. This is a real science positive movie, and he spends a lot of time, even though it's basically, it's very much sort of fantasy, really.
Yeah, there's lots of elements that are really just, there was a lot of stuff that really, you know, they attempt to explain, but they don't really end up explaining it all. That's part of the one of the reasons I like it, is that there's a lot of elements to it that's really fantastical, and they try to figure out what it is or why it's there, but you never really get a solid answer, because that's just how phenomena work. Sometimes there's just really no solid explanation to why something is happening. It's just happening.
And it's a really beautifully made film as well. The animation.
Yeah.
Exceptionally charming, particularly the penguins.
Well, of course.
But just like the whole film, it's good, and the character designs are really likeable and stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what they remind me of, because it's not like anything you could take one look at those designs and probably think of a million other things that look similar to it, but it's a very unique looking film compared to a lot of other anime films. Kind of like how you couldn't compare this to like something like, say, Machia.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously still anime, but it has a unique enough look that you would not mistake it for anything else. At least in my mind. But yeah.
It's really impressive. Like, this is their first film as well.
Yeah, that's actually something I didn't know about the film going in. I thought that this was just part of a movie in a long line of studio releases, but this was their first. So I'd say for a first feature film, they definitely have had a great start. And hopefully they will do more in future.
Yeah, and it also, when it screened at the Fantasia International Film Festival in Montreal, it got an award there as well. It got the Satoshi Kon Award for Best Animated Feature. So
that's impressive. Good job.
So it came with good pedigree behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously it's been getting a lot of love. So we'll see what the future holds for Penguin Highway. Because would you say this was definitely, if you have the opportunity, that we do get this on a Blu-ray, you'd get it on Blu-ray?
Oh yeah, definitely. But it's not going to be out like in proper theatrical release until next year, either in the UK or the US. So it's going to be way off. So we got to see it really early. And
yeah, we were lucky.
Yeah. I guess we might, you know, possibly revisit it like when it comes out again, because I definitely want to rewatch it.
Me too. Me too, for sure. Because this seems like one of those movies that it kind of just washes over you the very first time, and then rewatching it again, you're going to pick up on more things. So I got that vibe from this film when I watched it for the first time. So I feel like going into it a second time would probably reveal a lot more things to me. So, or I would understand a lot more things. So yeah, for sure. I would be very excited to not only watch the movie again, but also talk about it again.
And it'll be especially interesting if it does get a dub, because then you'll be able to see how that turns out, and also it lets you appreciate the animation a bit more because you're not reading the subtitles.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole double-edged sword when you watch an anime film for the first time with subtitles only, because you're constantly torn between looking at the animation and admiring it, and then also having to read what actually is going on in the story and dialogue.
Yeah, but if you get the chance to see this at a festival anywhere, or because before it comes out, then we say jump at the chance, because it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
And who doesn't love penguins? Or boobs? It's got everything.
Penguins and boobs. Penguins and boobs. It's best of both worlds.
Episode title.
Oh my god. So, if I recall, last week, our last episode, really, both you, Chris, were mentioning that you had a chance to watch all 9 episodes of The Dragon Prince, correct?
Yes, I did watch that.
Not impressed by it at all?
No.
No, yeah, that's the idea I got from you. So, I have also had a chance to watch that show in its entirety, and I will tell you this as someone who watched Avatar The Last Airbender, and who I know that the individual in charge of this was also one of the main writers in Avatar. There is a distinct similarity. There's a distinct similarity in terms of how they write character dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's definitely the minute characters started talking, I'm like, oh, this sounds like, this kind of reminds me in a way of how Avatar The Last Airbender started out in terms of how characters talk to each other. But, and I will say it still definitely feels, I think, like you said, like it's still set for a younger, much younger crowd. Like, I believe you said last episode, it was like, you know, from 8 and up range audience. But even of course, as a lot of people have been saying, and I know you said last time, the animation is definitely hard to wrap your head around. Like, I literally somehow managed to get used to it, but I can't say I would be very excited to have the show continue to go in that direction, if there's any way that they could find a better way to streamline that, the visual look that they're trying to go for. I think that I would appreciate that a lot. But despite that, I found myself enjoying it a lot more than I expected to, considering I had the big hurdle of having to get used to the animation style. I expected to be more in your camp, saying, you know, didn't enjoy it, you know, the animation was really tough to get through, and I wasn't expecting too much from the story, at least from what we had seen from the trailer. And yet, by the end of the 9 episodes, I can't say I'm like gung-ho, like, yeah, Dragon Prince, I'm ready to see what's next. I'm more quietly intrigued, is more of like how I would describe my reaction to the show, because while sometimes the writing can be a bit, you know, younger set, and the characters really haven't impressed me all that much yet, I do see a lot of potential here, and I really enjoy the kind of world that they're building in terms of the clash between humanity and like these the different tribes of elves, and seeing more, like, I would like to see more dragons in the Dragon Prince. I mean, at the end of the 9th episode, we do get a dragon showing up as part of the plot. But I would like to see more, since that's part of the show's title, and see how that's supposed to play into everything. I guess that's probably just that aspect of it really kind of pulled me in, as opposed to like the surface level stuff. And yeah, there were a couple characters that I found were like, I would like to see more of, particularly their aunt, the aunt of the princes, who speaks through sign language.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, she was great. I would love to see more of her, please. Just because, I mean, I don't really, and I like the way they were able to present her doing the sign language and still have someone translate for both her and the audience who can't read sign language to understand what she's saying. But even then, they don't do it all the time, because I think there was one sequence in the story where it was literally just her talking to, I think it was her sister's monument, where she was just signing something, talking to her sister in sign language, and they didn't bother trying to put dialogue over that, which I thought was really good. Yeah, so it's just like little things like that have impressed me, but like I'm still not the point where I'd be like diehard excited to see the second season, though I will most likely watch it when it comes out. I just wanted to offer my two cents that there's stuff to enjoy, and you are, and I'm glad we kind of have that difference of opinion where it's just like, you know, whether or not you like it or not like it, you know, if you do, watch it. If not, stop watching it.
Yeah, I'm glad we've got someone who's offered more positive things on that, because I don't, you know, I really wanted to like it. So, and I know that some people have reacted to it much more positively than I have. So I think it's good to have that opinion represented.
I think the idea is that the show has potential. Whether or not it actually hits that potential has yet to be seen. It feels like they're building, they're in the process of, you know, the first season building up a lot of things, but really aside from like one big thing within those first 9 episodes, that was all they delivered on. And there's still like stuff like that they're still piling on that we still need to see pay off. So I think that's what I'm currently waiting for. I'm waiting for these other plot threads or ideas to really pay off. But they haven't gotten there, because I think they were just kind of testing the waters to see how the show would be received with everything that, you know, that they've been working on. So hopefully, and I know, I think supposedly they think there was a bit of information that went out from the show creators that they're attempting to refine the animation a little bit more, so it doesn't seem as kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Jerky,
yeah, jittery.
Yeah.
So hopefully that pays off too. But I was very surprised by how much I actually did enjoy it, and I would be definitely interested to follow up and see how the second season carries on. Hopefully things get better and might do some really cool stuff, but we'll have to wait and see.
It's possible if I hear things about the second series, I might give it another shot, but I'm not.
Don't, you're not holding your breath.
No.
That's fair. So I know those are the big two things that we've watched recently. Was there anything that you watched particularly, Chris, that you wanted to talk about?
I was actually getting in a bit of, it's October, I was getting in a bit of a spooky mood. Halloween-y watch with a French animated film called Zombielennium.
Yes, we've discussed that previously.
That got quite a few screenings. I think it screened Animation as Film in the US last year. Mm-hmm. And it screened at Annecy and things like that, but I hadn't had the opportunity to watch it. And it's actually popped up on a streaming service in the UK called Now TV, so I was able to sample that when I had access to it. And it's the idea is basically there is a theme park that is like a monster themed theme park, like with all vampires and werewolves and zombies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Only the secret behind it is all the zombies and things are real. And yeah,
but they don't attack anybody. They're just doing their thing.
Yeah. They're just employees. But the main character is like a, he's like an inspector of, mm-hmm. I don't know if he's specifically a theme park. He's like, I guess he's like a government person, and he's like a bit of a stick in the mud and everything. And he gets a bit of a grudge against this theme park that his daughter wants to go to because he's a single dad. He wants to go there and shut it down.
Oh.
He's the protagonist.
Wow.
And then the owner of the theme park catches him. He's a vampire. And he bites him and then he wakes up and he is now one of the undead. And and he's told that he can't leave the park. He's an employee of Zombielenium.
Well, that's interesting.
And one of the ideas in this theme park is that people don't want to be scared anymore. They prefer sparkly, sexy vampires. So it's got like this. Basically, there's this character that seems to be basically Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies.
Oh my god!
And he's sort of the antagonist. So.
Oh my god, that's great.
So you got it's CG animated, and it does have it's basically similar sort of style to Dragon Prince, but somehow I don't know, I didn't find it. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Like, it depends on how you approach it, I think.
And I think it's not very like slickly animated or anything. It's not high end, but it didn't bother me with this so much. Mm-hmm. It's quite a short movie as well. It's like an hour and a quarter basically.
Oh wow.
Hour and 17 minutes exactly, I think. So it's and it's pretty fast moving and everything, and it's just some of the ideas behind it are great fun, like this little little gags and stuff. Like there's mm-hmm. this zombie seem to be a bit of a mixed thing in this. They're not just, you know, like zombies you see in everything, like the mm-hmm. shambling, because the main character is a zombie, but he looks more like a demon. He's got horns and stuff. And there's another zombie that's a skeleton in a Michael Jackson outfit. So there's references to Thriller and stuff like that. And there's even someone says, "Hey, we couldn't get the rights to Thriller," which is yes, there's this giant zombie creature, and he's wearing a T-shirt that says "Leave Britney Alone," which I think is like a pretty old internet reference.
Nice.
And one of the characters wears a 9-inch nails T-shirt, and she is the best character, and she should be the main character. She's I think she's kind of like the poster girl of the film, because I've seen pictures of her, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, sometimes you just feel like the creators of it like this character more than anyone else and spent more time on them.
Yeah, especially when they use them a lot for promotional material.
Yeah. She's like a, she's a witch, and she's like a cool goth chick with she's got tattoos and 9-inch nails T-shirt, and she can play guitar and stuff, and she's really cool. And, she flies around it's sort of part broom, part surfboard in the sky.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so she should be the main character, but she's not. But
I don't know. I still like the kind of concept of this guy just kind of coming into this thing originally intending to be like more of an antagonistic figure and try to shut this place down. It's like, oh no, wait, you're dead. You're now you work here. And it's like, well, shit.
Yeah, it's like one of these, it's obviously supposed to be like redemption or whatever, but as a main character, he's not that amazing or anything, because you don't really sort of necessarily feel like he goes into this massive change.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the fact it's basically forced on him, but it's a lot of fun. I liked it. It's not that easy to find, I guess, because this is the only place I've seen it pop up before. I guess it had because it was on this platform, that means it had a TV screening in the UK on satellite on a movie channel, but.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking around to see if I could find out where else it was available and if it was like available to download or whatever. But if you can find it, and it sounds like a fun concept, I think you have a good time with it.
Very good. Yeah. I wish I had, don't think I'll have the same opportunity to see it, but hopefully one day I'll be able to check it out. Cause this does sound like good Halloween fun.
Yeah. It's perfect timing. It should be available more widely.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. There was one thing I wanted to add as well in terms of a show that I finally had a chance to watch, though I will admit I have not finished it yet. Again, more dragons, because that seems to be in the mood I've been in this past week. Well, being laid up, it's like, I'm just going to watch things about giant flying reptiles.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, right? And there was a show that I knew was coming to Netflix, but I kept missing the date that it was supposed to be released internationally, and that is Dragon Pilot Hisone and Masutan.
Yeah,
that came out September 21st internationally. It was directed by, make sure I've got the information up here. That's executive director. And it's Hiroshi Kobayashi, and written by Mario Kada.
It was on my radar.
Yep. It was written, the same writer-director behind Machia wrote this. And I've watched up to episode 5. Basically, the series plot is that we have our main character, who is Hisone Amakasu, who really doesn't have a whole lot of direction in her life. She really doesn't interact well with people because she's a very blunt person. She has a tendency to say what's exactly on her mind without
one of them, eh?
Yeah. So she originally, when she's like in school and she's deciding what she wants to do for her career, she writes down the Japanese Air Self-Defense Force or Japanese Air Force, just so she can get away from people, since she figures she won't have to interact with a lot of other different people in a military job, which is not true. But she's working there, and then she gets transferred into this other department to deliver something. And she finds herself in this very dark, dim hangar, just not sure, the person she was supposed to meet wasn't there. She's just very confused. And then when she least expects it, a giant dragon comes out of the ground and eats her, swallows her up, and then throws her back out. And apparently, as she's told very quickly later on, this apparently means that she's chosen to become a D-Pi, or as they call a dragon pilot, because apparently dragons have been helping humanity through a bunch of the different ages, disguising themselves as different, things like kites or like other random flying objects. But now their current camouflage is airplanes. So like jet fighters and transport planes and stuff like that. So, and this particular one, whose name is Masutan, decides that, you know what? I like this chick. We're going to be partners together, and just eats her. Because apparently that's how you pilot these things. The dragon has to eat you. And then you just kind of sit in its gullet, and just, there's apparently like a, what's it called? Like a 3D interface of the outside world around, so you can get to see like what's going on outside, and literally, like, they give control of how they move to the people piloting them. And it's really zany and wacky and fun and adorable and a lot deeper than I was expecting, because it's a lot of people talking about feelings and trying to make sure that they get, especially with Hisone's very blunt nature. She's tried, I don't talk because I always say what's on my mind, and because of that, I hurt people. I don't want to hurt people. And basically just having her learning how to interact better with people, and same with other characters that they meet along the way. So far, and this is only episode 5 of a 12-episode series, I'm surprised how quickly I became smitten with this show. And chances are I will be finishing it not too much longer from now, but it's... If you have a Netflix account and you love anime, especially stuff that comes out of Studio Bones, or just cute anime with cute characters and
dragons.
Who
doesn't love dragons and penguins and boobs?
Especially, like, if you look at Masutad's design, he is very adorable. But yeah, no, this, if you have a Netflix account, like, you do yourself a disservice by not watching this. This is so good. It's so good.
Awesome.
I want to watch more now. Literally sitting here talking, like, I need to watch the next episode. But yeah, that's the only other thing. And I think one thing I might want to touch on lightly, but I feel like we're going to touch on better in a later episode, is MFKS was something I just recently had an opportunity to watch, and I'm very excited to talk about that. But I think we might save that for another time.
I think so, yes. A little bit of personal news. I'm very excited to reveal that I got to play on a Switch for the first time.
Yeah! Awesome. How'd you like it?
It was awesome. And I did get to, very briefly, really, play on Mario Odyssey. And God, how charming is that game?
The animation, it's so good.
The animation is absolutely adorable. I really wasn't able to play for very long. But just... getting to the bit where you possess a frog, and then the frog has a little moustache, and
yes, it does, and a hat.
It's that Nintendo charm. It's just irresistible, and it's like, I want one.
That's why I've been kind of like throwing myself into a hat in time, because that's like playing a Mario Odyssey but not playing Mario Odyssey with. Man, one day I will get a Switch. Very soon. But that's good stuff. Is it your Switch, or did you
No. My friend just brought it around.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well,
tell him to bring
Zelda Breath of the Wild next time.
He had that with him, but there just wasn't time, because Ben had to meet his baby daughter.
Next time, insist on playing Breath of the Wild. You won't regret it. Oh, but I do think that is unless there's anything else you want to add, I think that more or less covers all bases for the day.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so thank you so much. It was a bit of more of a casual episode this week, but we will be back with you. The next episode is going to be our Halloween episode, so keep an eye out for that when it comes down. We are going to be talking about something that is celebrating its anniversary this year, as well as a film that is set during Halloween, and that is Cowboy Bebop. So stay tuned for that, and if you want to support Animation for Adults website, please continue to peruse the website for other articles, news, and reviews. If you follow us on social media, or if you have yet to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, and Instagram. Am I forgetting anything? I don't think I am. I think I actually said that all in one breath, so good. If you would like to support us financially and also help with the later projects that are coming down the line, I would suggest going to our Patreon page, which we'll have a link to in the show notes below, along with our link to our Ko-fi account if you would like to buy us a virtual cup of coffee, either forms of support you'd like to give, we always appreciate it. If there are any topics you'd like us to have covered on this particular podcast, if any shows, movies, or anything animation-wise you would like us to talk about, please, by all means, send us an email at podcast@animationforadults.com. Chris, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Mr. Christo on Twitter.
Very good. And if you want to follow me personally, I am also on Twitter at Fail2Ninja. Everyone, it's been awesome coming back to the podcast. We look very much forward to sharing with you our discussion on our next episode. Take care and have a spoopy Halloween. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For the smart savers, browsing for bargains day and night, shopping around on comparison sites, for everyone in bidding mode, who loves a two-for-one voucher code, for everyone who wants fairer broadband, choose TalkTalk for fast unlimited fibre broadband at a low price that's fixed for the length of your contract. TalkTalk, fairer broadband for everyone.